I'm here with Edward Dowd. He is no stranger to Wall Street, having been a former BlackRock portfolio manager. And I just to take you behind the scenes a little bit, I was texting with Dr. Robert Malone last night. He said, you've got to talk to Edward Dowd. He's got some pressing information on just how deep this fraud goes with Pfizer. And so I guess take me behind the scenes. Actually, before I get to that point, I do want to encourage those of you that are hopping on to go to Edward Dowd's Twitter. He's got a something pinned to the top that it talks about how, you know, this was from May of 2020, talks about, like, if I were writing a movie, this is how it go down. And it makes you look like a prophet, Edward, because pretty much everything that you had pinned back then has been playing out. And you've said that your experience with Wall Street has kind of given you some insight on how it would go in this direction. So I'm going to shut up and take me behind the scenes a little bit about how you've seen this play out.
Sure. You know, my overarching thesis is that we have a global debt problem. And after the great financial crisis, all the central banks and the governments started pumping money into the system. And it's been since 2008, a kind of a clarion call that the central banks are all cooperating to keep this debt bubble afloat. We have negative yielding bonds in Europe. And eventually, they know that you can't keep it afloat forever, and eventually something's going to happen. You get to the end of the debt cycle, the interest payments become too much. So when I saw the COVID thing go down, I was a little suspicious, and I thought maybe this could be an excuse or cover. I mean, we can debate whether they launched it on purpose or as an accident, but it was a perfect cover for central banks to print money for an emergency. And, also put in place medical tyranny systems as cover for a collapse of the financial system to prevent riots. So my overarching thesis is that this is cover. You see the global coordination all over the world, and the medical systems that they're putting in place to track, to limit travel, to prevent riots, what have you. And it's just a system of control because I believe the social contract has been broken. People just don't know that yet. All the pensions are broke. They're not going to be able to pay. And so they need a way to control, you know, the proletariat, so to speak. And so when I saw this going down, you know, I couched it in terms of a dystopian movie. And I laid out what it might look like. And it's actually kind of played out almost exactly. I'm a little shocked. But, you know, on Wall Street, I learned to think like a criminal. And if I was a criminal and an evil criminal and I was in control of the money supply, that's what I would do. So I have no proof of this, but my series of tweets have played out almost exactly.
And you said that you've been uncovering a lot of fraud within the Pfizer Big Pharma operation.
Right.
What kind of things have you uncovered specifically when it comes to that jab maker?
So, you know, I didn't personally take the jab primarily because I knew two things. Operation Warp Anything sounded like a disaster. Anytime you rush something, there's going to be corners cut. The drug was experimental because it normally, and the second thing I knew is it normally takes 7 to 10 years for safety data to be effective on vaccines. So with those two things, I just said, I'll wait and watch. That's all I knew at the time. Then around May, June, July of last year, we started hearing all the anecdotes, all the studies started coming in, the side effects, the deaths, the athletes dropping. You wouldn't find this on mainstream media. I'm an avid Twitter follower because I'm an investor, so I look for alternative sources of information. I've always been a seeker of the truth and information to make money for my clients back when I was at BlackRock and now for myself. So I was on the side effects early. I saw the VAERS database. And so I was very suspicious. Then around November, a friend of mine in the biotech industry pointed out to me that the all-cause mortality endpoint had been missed by Pfizer in the original clinical trial. And I said, whoa, what? I didn't hear that. When did that come out? It kind of slipped out in some FOIA requested documents. that they missed that endpoint. And what does that mean for your audience? What that means is simply, in the vaccine group, there were more deaths than in the placebo group. And what you need to understand is that normally during the drug approval process, during the drug approval process at the FDA, if you fail that endpoint, you do not get approved. So that came out in November. The biotech industry executives that saw that, who had gotten the jab, decided they weren't going to get boosters. And the people who weren't vaxxed were not going to get vaxxed. And it's the gold standard at the FDA. So if this was a single product company that, was going to file and they missed that endpoint, the FDA would not approve the drug. So that kind of leaked out slowly in the fall. So that's number one. So I was super hyper vigilant about, well, we've been misled. So I started posting about that on Twitter. And then the FDA decided to hide the clinical data for 75 years. When I saw that, that's when I got very vocal and said, fraud has occurred. How do I know that? They won't show us the clinical data. So as an investor, I can say things like that because it's an investment thesis. It's the analyst mosaic. So I was very vocal about it. And eventually, I went on the Steve Bannon show and said that I had a thesis that Pfizer had committed fraud in the clinical trial data, in the clinical trials. And I knew that because with the FDA, they conspired to hide the data. Then I was contacted by Brooke Jackson, who was the Entavia whistleblower. She came out in November with the British Medical Journal. And I talked to her, and then I went on a Thomas Paine podcast, and we laid out the fraud that occurred. And it's pretty simple. She's got a lot of fraud that she saw, but I really focused on the fact that in her thousand, there were 44,000 patients in the total trial. She oversaw 1,000 patients. Those 1,000 patients were unblinded. When you're unblinded, it should be tossed out. That's per Pfizer's own protocols and just medical general practice in these clinical trials. You throw the data out. It wasn't thrown out. She reported it to the FDA at 9 in the morning on a Friday, and she was fired by 3 p.m. that day. It was an anonymous complaint. And then 5 days later, she was contacted by a Pfizer attorney, Mark Barnes, who we've discovered is a swamp creature going way back to linked with Fauci, linked with Health and Human Services, the Clintons, you name it. He's a fixer. He's like, the analogy I make in Pulp Fiction, he's Mr. Wolf. He's the cleaner. He gets rid of the bodies. So
Did they give her a reason for
basically
her
explained.
being let go? Did they give her a reason for her being fired?
Well, Pfizer didn't fire her. Ventavia is the contract company to do the clinical trials. Ventavia fired her. Then he reached out. He got her private phone number that was her husband's work phone somehow, and knew that she was the one who made the complaint somehow. So this is very strange, very odd. She never gave her name to anybody. So the FDA ratted her out, is what she thinks.
But I mean, they generally, when you fire somebody, you need like at least an excuse or a reason why they're being fired. Was she given any reason?
Yeah, so she wasn't a good fit.
Interesting.
And
And that just so happened
she
to
said that
coincide when
people,
she whistleblowed, essentially.
yeah, she said that once she started talking about the unblinding of her 1,000 patients, the attitude of her company shifted dramatically. And that's when she knew something was up, but then she made the whistleblower complaint to the FDA, and then she was gone.
Now, one of the complaints about this, of what you're talking about, were complaints isn't the right word, but criticisms, I guess, is now why would she be coming out now to tell this story? Like this happened quite a while ago. Why is this just now coming out? Do you have an explanation for that?
Yeah, she had an explanation on the Thomas Paine podcast we did. She laid it out. Basically, she got an attorney, filed a wrongful termination suit Then another attorney convinced her she should do a whistleblower suit. And the problem with that is when you do that, you can't talk about the case. Then the FDA kept punting on her, and she didn't realize she was in a game. She didn't realize the game she was in. And the FDA kept asking for extensions, 60 days, 3 months. And then they dropped the case this January. She went out in November at the against the advice of her lawyer, because she was just so concerned with what was going on, went to the British Medical Journal, which is a respected journal, gave the journal all her receipts, hundreds of documents, text messages. They vetted her. They released an article. It caused a little bit of waves, but then the censors removed it from all platforms. And the British Medical Journal was horrified. They were horrified. They were fact-checked, and they actually had, the AP had to remove a fact-check. I think Matt Taibbi wrote an article on this. So the information kind of got buried, and she kind of fell off the radar screen. And then when she heard me on Bannon say the word fraud, it was the first time she had heard someone definitively say fraud. So she reached out to me, and she told me that she'd been on podcasts. And when she said the word fraud, the podcaster would stop the podcast and say, "You can't say fraud." So that's so she's just trying to get her message out. And the thing that I want to drive home for her is these 1,000 patients could have affected the whole study mathematically, just her 1,000, primarily because in the vaccine group, there were 8 patients who got COVID. And in the placebo group, there were 164 patients who got COVID. So that's how they came up with the 95% effective at the time. And when you unblind, all sorts of bad things can happen. So out of her 1,000, all it would take was 75 patients to not have been tested for COVID with symptoms, and the doctors, you know, knowing they were vaccinated, wouldn't test them. 75 patients over to the left column were in the vaccine group. You have 50% efficacy. 164 patients, you have 0% efficacy. So this whole thing, the data's corrupted just on her 1,000. It's fraud. They rolled it up into the entire result. And, you know, we suspect where there's smoke, there's fire. Obviously, her site, this was probably repeated all across other sites. In addition, after she was fired, the 2 sites that she managed received awards from Pfizer for the great work they did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Even though she has proof that these sites were just completely, the data was fraudulent.
Yeah, fraudulent. And so she has all the receipts. She has all the receipts, and the British Medical Journal has the receipts. The British Medical Journal did some interviews with her, video interviews. Hopefully those get released soon. She's the real deal. This is not, and the mainstream media has no interest in her. She has not been contacted by anybody from the mainstream media. It's basically people like you, the Thomas Paine podcast, you know, just the alternative media.
Of course, because we're not paid by Big Pharma and
correct.
Entangled. So this would be a good time to remind everyone that I don't know what ultimately is going to happen with my channel. So make sure that you're following me on the alternatives, like Locals, working on getting that fully operational. Wanted to stream live to that right now, but I still have a few kinks to work out. But Locals, Rumble, Getter, I'm everywhere else because I don't know. Obviously, you wouldn't know this, Edward, but for the first time, I posted an observation on the Book of Face platform, and PolitiFact commented in the comments directly to me. Not even a warning, anything. They commented. I'm like, wow, I'm getting their attention. So that makes me a little iffy about my presence on the Book of Face moving forward. So please make sure that you support alternative media and these alternative sites. It's very hard to grow them. So make sure that you get on over there. But getting back to what we were talking about. So you said that case with her was dropped. So she wasn't able to get any wrongful termination. I mean, do you know any more about
When she dropped the wrongful termination suit and went the whistleblower route, She now has a new attorney, Mark Barnes. Mark Barnes has told her, well, I don't want to get into that, but they're going to try to do some other things. But right now, the FDA case has been dropped, and the FDA and the DOJ decided not to pursue anything in January of this year. It's just gone.
It's insane. It's insane how many areas they're in. Now, getting back to your Wall Street experience and you working for BlackRock for a number of years, I wanted to ask you, what do you make of this going around that the CEO of Moderna deleted his Twitter and dropped a bunch of his stock? There were some other reports that were saying that that wasn't exactly true. Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah. So, it is true that his Twitter account is gone. The timing on when he deleted it is unclear, but he was on Twitter. There's archived Wayback Machine shots of his Twitter account. This dumping of the stock has been occurring since for the last year, and they call it pre-filed payment dates or selling dates, but he's dumped a lot of stock. So it's not as salacious as what people on Twitter are saying. But it doesn't look good. The deletion of the Twitter account would suggest to me that the lawyers are in the C-suite telling him, some of the things you said might come back to haunt us. I mean, I don't know that. I'm speculating. I also am speculating that the lawyers are in the Pfizer C-suite. They recently changed some of their disclosure language in their most recent 10-Q.
I was going to ask about that next. I did see that as well. It's creepy that they would that. So basically, for those that aren't in the investing field, how would you explain that? So they have to do projections and they have to release anything that might affect their prices, correct? And so then for their projections for the quarter three, quarter four earnings, there was some language in there about data, correct?
Correct. So, you know, I've been analyzing stocks for a long, long time. I managed a $14 billion portfolio, and we have to be ahead of the news. We have to be ahead of things. We don't wait for the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times to report something. We connect the dots. This is what we call a tell in the investment world. When you change disclosure language about something as important as clinical trial data, that's a huge red flag. And it usually means the lawyers are getting nervous. The general counsel is getting nervous. They're in the CEO's office saying, Hey, this is coming down the road. We have to release the data. We need to put some disclosure in so we don't get sued by the investors. So they're covering, it's kind of a CYA situation from large shareholders. The other tell that occurred was in November of last year, their CFO, DiMaggio, retired. And what's interesting about this CFO is he was the CFO of Lucent Technologies back in the dot-com era. And I don't think there was any accounting fraud at Pfizer, but I think he's seen this movie before. There was accounting fraud at Pfizer, and there was a lot of shenanigans. And he was the steward of that ship on the way down to 56 cents. And I think he's seen this movie before, so he decided to retire. When you retire, you can sell all your stock. That's a tell. I can't prove that, but this is what we operate on in the investment world. And I just find it super interesting that he would leave in November if you believe that, you know, there was such a huge revenue opportunity lying ahead, you know, with all these vaccine mandates and, you know, basically, you know, they were thinking quarterly boosters. So if he knew something, he saw something, he didn't like it, he left. I can't prove that, but we call it a tell in the investment world when a CFO leaves. And he said he retired.
Interesting. And so getting back to the 75 years that they wanted, the judge rejected that. And then they asked if the FDA asked if the Pfizer could also come into this FOIA request. It all gets complicated, but it's amounted to even more delays on this safety data. And, you know, as long as this remains on some of these websites, I'm sure we're going to see the warning that jabs are safe and effective, but if they are, the glaring question is, why is it so difficult to get the information? Why do they want 75 years? Why are they now bringing in Pfizer to help delay? This is the question that I can't see why people that are on the side of this and think that it's so great and it's this miracle treatment. I can't see that why they can't answer this question or why they don't find it odd. What do you make of everything that's happening with that?
Well, there's two things. So there's a lot of, you know, Dr. Malone's talked about mass formation psychosis, and this has been the strangest thing I've ever seen in my career. You know, if we go back in time, I just assumed not that many people would take the shot because they knew it was experimental. And, you know, you don't take experimental vaccines. I thought people would think critically and rationally like me. But then I was driving around. I live on Maui, and I'm driving around and I'm listening to the radio, and I heard the propaganda, safe and effective, approved. I mean, they say, you got to remember, this wasn't approved. It was authorized under EUA. They were saying it's approved, it's safe. And I'd said to myself, oh my God, this is full on gaslighting. So a lot of people just went along to go along without, they turned off their critical thinking skills. Then you roll in the Trump derangement syndrome and people thinking that this is another way to virtue signal. And it just wrapped up into this us versus them nonsense that really just, it just blew my mind, the amount of people who were duped, smart people, people I respect. They turned off their critical thinking skills. But I also want to make the point that this fraud could not have occurred without the help of the FDA. Because they're the trusted third-party institution, okay? And that's why the FDA wants to hide the data for 75 years. It's fraud. And if you go back to the great financial crisis, how did that fraud occur? We had the rating agencies give AAA ratings to a bunch of bonds that were being generated by investment banks that were garbage. And they were corrupted by what I call the institutional imperative. And the institutional imperative is what Warren Buffett says, or has described as, the institution starts to act in the interest of the institution then rather than the shareholders, or in this case of the FDA stakeholders. And back then, the rating agencies received huge sums of money because of the volume of these bonds they were giving ratings to. The FDA currently receives 50% of its budget from drug companies, and there's a revolving door between the FDA and these drug companies. I mean, if you look at Scott Gottlieb, he was the head of the FDA. Now he's on the board of Pfizer, going on CNBC, basically doing free advertising for them. So the FDA has been thoroughly institutionally corrupted. And you saw some resignations towards the end of last year. Some of the people that were still independent just were disgusted by what they saw and left. So it's one of those situations where you see other people doing the wrong thing, but there's so many doing the wrong thing, you just think that's just normal. So it's normalized institutionally. So this fraud could not have occurred without the help of the FDA. And you have to understand how doctors think. Most doctors don't read clinical data. They don't read all these things. They're busy people, so they trust the FDA. So a lot of these doctors that are pushing this are putting their faith and trust in the FDA. So this fraud could not have occurred without the help of the FDA. And that's why we are where we are today. And the proof of that is they want to hide it for 75 years. That's all I need to say. And then once I talk to Brooke, I'm thoroughly convinced the data is fraud.
I mean, and now it just, everything has accelerated. More truth is coming out, but as much as the truth comes out, we're then seeing just more clamping down on censorship. We're seeing more, you know, now with Trudeau calling for a state of emergency, that they're messing with banks, they're messing with crowdfunding sites to support those who are asking for more transparency, more accountability, freedom. Now we have mainstream news articles saying that freedom is a right-wing word. I mean, everything seems upside down every day. It's just, when is this going to break? What, you know, Dr. Malone, recommending me to talk to you, saying you have big information. Where do you see this going now that you're trying to get the word out? And, I mean, you were pretty good at predicting what would happen back in May of 2020. Where do you see this going now?
Yeah, so I'm on record on Twitter stating, a couple months ago, as the truth comes out, it will get worse and they will triple down. You got to think like a criminal. If you're caught and they're getting caught and they're not going to be able to hide the number of injured and deaths, the mortuaries are filling up, the insurance, we'll get into the insurance data, but they're caught. They know they're caught. The general public doesn't know they're caught yet, but they're caught. So they have to triple down and they have to go deeper into this, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get weird and ugly and messed up for the next several months. We will win. These criminals will be brought to justice, but I expect full on chaos this year. And I'm on record saying that it's going to, and it's just the nature of how a criminal thinks.
Wow. It's so much to take in each and every day. Can't stop covering all of this and all of the new information and hoping that more and more people will get on these alternative platforms. You can be found on Getter. I can be also found on Rumble, Locals, and BitChute, Brighteon, all of the things, because I don't know what's going to happen to this channel, wherever you may be watching. I probably will delete these and shift them to my alternative. So please make sure, everyone, that you are connected to the information, and the only way you can be connected to the information is on these alternatives. It's getting so bad. Now, before we were talking about that, you mentioned the insurance companies. I've heard conflicting data with that too. As soon as it broke that a major insurance company, I believe it was out of Washington, the reporter was just a legacy media, like a mainstream reporter, I think it was Washington, and she had this breaking news of this insurance company showing that 40% uptick in deaths in the group that wouldn't have been from COVID, that it wasn't from COVID, just 40% in a younger demographic. And then I had heard that insurance company then tried to retract that. And so where do we stand with that?
So that was One America. I discovered that and I got it on Zero Hedge. I gave it to Dr. Malone and Steve Kirsch and they blew it up, and we got, they had more influence than me, and they were able to boost the signal. Zero Hedge boosted it for me. Bottom line is they saw an acceleration of mortality in the second half of 2021. Okay. Given the quote unquote miracle vaccines, that should not have occurred. In fact, he put some meat on the bones. He said a 10% increase would be a 3 standard deviation event. 40% is a once in a 200 year flood. And what you need to understand about insurance companies, they make their money giving whole life policies because they can predict death rates, which are pretty steady. The death rates all around the globe are not fluctuating wildly. They just don't. So that's how they make their money. They collect a premium, they invest it, and then they have to pay out, and they charge enough so that they never lose money on this. It's a great business, right? This is concerning to them. And he didn't realize what he was saying. He was on a Chamber of Commerce video, and he had no idea that was going to get blown up. They can retract it all they want, and that doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter what they say. Deaths are rising. Now, you can debate why. I know why. You know why. I told Dr. Malone and all my Twitter followers I'd be watching the insurance company Q4 reports. Okay. They reported the first week of February. And after I went on Bannon, I want to say that a former number one institutional investor ranked insurance analyst who used to work on Wall Street reached out to me and said, you're right. And he's helping me with collating and collecting all the data. So it's just not me doing this. I have a team now. And wow, this guy, awesome. He can't go public because he has personal issues about that, but he is doing a lot of the analysis. And what we found, a couple of weeks ago was this. I'll just read them off. Unum saw plus 36% increase in deaths. This now I'm basing Q4 of 2021 versus baseline 2019. So plus 36% for Unum, plus 57% for Lincoln National, plus 41% for Prudential, plus 21% for Reinsurance Group of America, plus 32% for Hartford Group. And then Aegon reported last week on Thursday. Aegon is a Dutch insurer. They saw in the Q3 quarter plus 268% claims in the U.S. And in the fourth quarter, they saw plus 56% claims in the U.S. Additionally, they did something interesting. They did a reinsurance deal for high face amount individual policies at what was looked like very bad economics for them. On the conference call, a sell side analyst was very confused and said, why would you do this deal? I can speculate why they did this deal. This deal looks bad now, but a year or two from now, it may look like a genius move. And they actually think there's going to be 300,000 excess deaths due to, they call it COVID and indirect COVID, whatever that means, in the U.S. in 2022. So they actually raised their expectations for mortality in the U.S. on the conference call. Wow. So they're not saying it's the jab, but it's the jab. And
indirect COVID. I mean, it is related to COVID. We've convinced and threatened people into getting something to treat COVID, and now we're seeing excess deaths.
Yeah. I'm also tracking funeral homes. There's 90% of the funeral home industry in the U.S. is private, but there's 10% of the market is public stocks. And I'm tracking two stocks. We saw an acceleration in the third quarter of last year. They're going to report Q4. I think one is today and one is next week. I'll put those out on Twitter. I'm not hopeful that the results are not going to be I mean, this is bizarre, but I want to be hopeful that I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be wrong. I think the results for the funeral homes are going to be good. In fact, if you look at the stock charts of those funeral homes, they didn't do much in 2020, but they were growth stocks last year, and they accelerated in the second half of last year. One of them was up 106%, and another was up 68%. Those are growth stocks. We should not be seeing funeral home companies as growth stocks.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm actually have a background in the financial industry. I was an investment advisor rep for a number of years, family business. My parents are still in it. And my mom is doing very well on funeral stocks right now for her and her clients. It's sad, but trying to protect people's money right now is scary, especially even when you're factoring in the inflation and everything else. She's doing whatever she can to protect people's assets. So got to go where the money, where they have the most potential to make the most money. Oh my goodness. It's so much information. If people really want to arm themselves with the insurance data and stuff, like, where can you find this information with so much depression and censorship going down? Where can they find the insurance data, et cetera?
They're in the process of, some have filed their SEC reports, so you can go to public databases, 10Qs, 10Ks. You want to focus on the group life policies, because there's two, insurance is very complicated. Group life is, corporate policies for people that join up. You join, you get your dental, your healthcare, and you get $100,000 death benefit if you're like 25. And it's de minimis, but they're seeing an increase in claims there. The reason why you want to focus on that, and it's called the benefit loss ratio. So as that ratio goes up, that means the insurance companies are paying out more. You want to focus on that because that part of the business is marked to market. It's they renew the contracts every year. Individual policies, and especially the higher face amounts, are done under a different kind of insurance accounting, actuarial accounting, bizarre Byzantine rules, and they don't realize the deaths as quickly because they slowly change their death assumptions over time. So that's why we focused on the group policies. We would see it there first. But what's notable is that insurers are starting to offload their high face amount policies to reinsurers. So someone is going to be holding the proverbial bag on this in a year or two. I would also, and you can follow me on Twitter, it's at Dowd Edward, and on Getter at Edward Dowd. I'm putting out everything I see. Just remember, it's just not me doing the analysis, although I'm capable of it. I have an insurance sell side expert helping me. Okay. I do want to give your viewers some hope. My goal in exposing this from the financial side of the house is I want to make Wall Street aware of what's going on, especially hedge funds. And I want these stocks to start to roll over. They already are. And nothing raises the consciousness of people more than Wall Street getting negative on a stock. And I want to force the financial press to have to address why these stocks are underperforming. And they're going to have to eventually mention the vaccines. They may not mention it, but they're going to have to address why the stocks are going down. So I'm trying to punch through the censorship that's going on via Wall Street. And the hope I want to give is a lot of hedge funds are reaching out to me, a lot of smart people. I'm talking to people who were jabbed, and they're starting. Some people are already on this and are short the stock. Others are coming around. I'm trying to make long-only investors that aren't involved, like the large mutual fund companies, start to rethink why they own these stocks. Moderna is down 70% from its high, and Pfizer, it looks like it's starting to underperform as well. So this is the goal. The goal is to break through the media barrier via Wall Street. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you can't ignore that, obviously, like what's happening on Wall Street. So that's a good plan of action. And then as far as, what was I going to say? There's like so many different directions you can take this in. It gets overwhelming. Oh, I was going to say, as far as your experience with being with BlackRock, that name keeps on coming up in terms of, BlackRock keeps on coming up in terms of like their hands in all of these different things behind even the big tech and their associations with big pharma. Can you share any insight on that, having been with BlackRock as a manager portfolio manager?
Actually, I can't. When I separated from them, I signed a non-disparagement agreement. So I'm not going to say anything about BlackRock.
So we can pretty much only just say that you used to work there and not give insight on how much they're getting into things. Okay, fair enough. Yep. And then is there anything else that's new or breaking that we should know about?
Yeah, so because of my appearance on Bannon, I said I wanted to be a lightning rod, and some people took that as, oh, they're going to come after me. I meant it to mean experts and people reach out to me, and that's happened. Brooke reached out to me, a sell side analyst from Wall Street reached out to me, and another woman scientist reached out to me who is an expert in regulatory approvals for companies with the FDA and the manufacturing process. I dropped on Twitter yesterday and Getter a slide deck she put together calling into question the timeline of the manufacturing process, how that it was almost impossible and that at a minimum corners were definitely cut and safety regulations were dispensed with. She compared it to an Ebola drug that was expedited. It took them 28 months from discovery of virus to product. It took 12 months for this one, for the Pfizer. And it makes no sense. She also speculated that it's so unbelievable they were able to do this, that there could have been foreknowledge and that they had things ready to go in place. She pointed out the new lipid nanotechnology particles. It's a novel technology to manufacture on the scale that Pfizer and Moderna did is not a small consequence. It's a novel technology. And she just says the learning curve there was too fast unless they had knowledge. That's her opinion.
I don't, you know, pushback on that. There are some people that saying that since that they had been working on this technology for a number of years to then focus this technology to this pandemic was not a long shot. What do you think about that?
Well, she specifically talks about the huge ramp in volume. When you manufacture these things in mass, you're going to run into normal issues that we experience in the physical world of making new things. And so she just said there's just no way they got it right that quick, in her opinion. All you have to do is look at the slide. The slide deck she gave me didn't mention that in the slide deck. All she wanted to do was say that it was basically so fast that at a bare minimum, there was no regulatory oversight in the manufacturing process. They rubber stamped everything, which that I can buy. The other speculation, while interesting, is a journalistic problem, and I leave that up to others to figure out.
Got it. All right. And then so we can follow you on Getter and Twitter for now. We never know what's going to happen with that. But
Right.
what can we as a society do? You know, everybody needs to play their part. I always say, you know, if you're looking for a hero, you know, look back at yourself because you have to be your own hero in this. What would you suggest other people do to do their part in this whole process?
Yes, that's a great question, and I'm on record on Twitter saying basically we all have to get involved, everyone. You can no longer remain silent. You can no longer go along to get along. If you believe what I say about what's going on with the Pfizer fraud, you need to make your loved ones aware of it. Have uncomfortable conversations. I am a different voice. I'm a Wall Street voice, and I'm saying fraud. And also point out the stock prices to these people to convince them something's going on, Wall Street's turning on this. That hopefully can change a mind, make someone pause. This is a battle for the marginal mind, and you're not going to convince people by screaming at them. You have to come to them in a loving way, and they may yell at you, tell you you're crazy, but you got to do it. Everyone's got to do it. Everyone's got to spread this information. Everyone has to stand up for freedom and what and just what's going on is complete idiocy and insanity, and totalitarian dictatorship is where they want to take this. Look what Trudeau did yesterday. They're probably going to try that here. They're going to I mean, I don't doubt that they'll try to suspend bank accounts here. I think it'll be harder in the US, but that's where they want to take this. They want to shut up people who don't buy off on their insane narrative, in my opinion.
And I mean, I've said this many times, quit pointing fingers, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, quit buying into that counter narrative to be on a team and just recognize that the real issue is it's us, we the people, against the powerful and elite and those that want to control us, period. You know, because there are definitely Republicans to blame. There are definitely Democrats to blame in this mess. There could be blame can go all around. So in the end, we just need to bring it back to it's we the people fighting for our freedoms against those that haven't lost their jobs throughout this whole thing,
Right.
but are feeding off of this power that they have and are bringing us down a very, very, very scary path. Well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to wrap this up because I want to push this out on the alternative platforms. Probably going to have to run to delete this from YouTube. Thank you for joining me live on YouTube, but YouTube is the worst when it comes to these topics. So I'm going to try and take it down before they do to avoid the strike. I will be posting this on the other platforms like
Right.
Locals, Rockfin. It's been a process, folks, to try and get all this set up on the alternatives. But make sure that you, if you don't like me, follow other independent journalists on these platforms. Alternative media is hard to build. So please support independent journalists. Doesn't even have to be me. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be talking again because it's so much to digest. So we'll stay in touch. And if there's more information to break, I will make sure that I bring you back Edward Dowd, but you can follow him in the meantime on Getter and Twitter. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to make my point. And I really appreciate people like you that are putting yourself on the line. It's wonderful that you're doing what you're doing. And also, I agree with you. This is not about the red team or the blue team. This is team humanity. And it's becoming apparent to everyone you need to get out of these silos that you're in and realize we're all human beings.
Absolutely. Very, very good. All right. Thank you so much. People spread this far and wide. Keep an eye on the alternative media that I'm going to be posting this to and get it to your friends, even if it's just straight email, so we can and block the censorship. Thank you again. And I'll be talking to you soon.
Take care.